some guy, like, who's really what Connor Stallions is doing, some diehard fan who wrote, dude, the man wrote a manifesto about Michigan football, about how much he loves Michigan football. Don't hate the man either. Michigan fans shouldn't be mad at, because if you could do it, you would. If you were, I'm a diehard A&M fan. If there was a way I could help them and probably get paid and get to go to free football games and get to sneak on the side, like, you know, and get to do all that and ultimately, like, not get in trouble for it, dude, I would be doing the same thing. You'd be doing the same thing, especially if you're winning.
Playoffs? Don't hate on the man. What are you talking about? Playoffs? Playoffs?
You got barbecue back there? Hurt my feelings.
I'm here with my family.
You kidding me? Playoffs?
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to another episode of the program. This is your host at Kayfabe Kev on Instagram, at Podcast Kev on Twitter. Kayfabe Kev, Podcast Kev, call me what you want. But this is Gridiron Jabroni, episode number 8. Welcome back to another episode. Welcome back to the program. You know the deal. It's college football talk, pro football talk. We're not diving into any wrestling today. Just college and pro football today. We are heading into week 10 of college football and week 9 of the NFL season. And if you know anything, if you're not a jabroni, if you're not a mark like everyone, like all the casuals, if you're not a casual, basically, week 9 means we just hit the trade deadline. When this comes out, two days, I don't know, we just hit it yesterday for me. Whenever you hear this, Wednesday, I don't know. All right, Wednesday was a trade deadline. I don't know how to explain it. Tuesday was the trade deadline. But by Wednesday, everything, you know, we knew everything. So that happens, whatever. We'll talk about that later. Trade deadline. We have some NFL talk to talk about all that. A couple moves, a couple quarterback qualms to talk about. But first, we'll go into the college football season. No Heisman talk today. I don't want to talk individual people. I don't want to talk individual players. We're simply looking at teams, college football playoffs. A couple teams fell this week. A couple teams fell out of playoff contention. Still in conference championship contention. And then that's what we're going to talk about after college football playoffs. Some college football standings in the conferences. The Big 12, the Big 10, the ACC, and the Pac-12 are really a small... Each of them have their own unique college football races. Oh, I'm sorry, the conference championship races that we're going to take a look at. There's a team that isn't getting any respect, and I don't know if casuals know why. So I want to talk about them, talk about JMU for a minute. A little Michigan sign-stealing update, and then the ACC reveals their new plan for next season as far as scheduling goes. So we'll talk about that and then dive into the NFL. Starting with college football, like I said, a couple teams fell this week after some rough losses. You hear that? Yeah, we're still doing paperback. I don't know what it is. I want to say I like being disconnected from the internet when I'm recording, but I'm still like on a laptop and I'm still, you know, I still got my two laptops and my phone for research or whatever. So I'm not really disconnected. I just kind of like paperback style of my notes and whatnot. It makes me feel like I did my job. Regardless, back to college football talk. This weekend, or week 9, we had a couple teams lose, significant teams that one of them you could say was definitely in the college football race, the playoff race. Two of them were kind of on the outsiders that I talked about last week. Oregon State, North Carolina, the two that I was talking about last week that were like kind of almost like barely there, but probably about to fall out. Sure enough, they did. But Oklahoma was the big shakeup that happened on the weekend, losing to Kansas. Was it an overtime? No, 38-33. It was down to the last minute, I had Oklahoma minus 8 on that game. I thought Oklahoma was going to come in, make a statement, and walk out, kind of being the obvious big dogs of the Big 12. But it did not happen. Kansas State ends up pulling off a win, 38-33, to move to 6-2. Scored the last touchdown, 55 seconds. Couldn't really do anything from there. So Oklahoma loses. They were sitting at number 6, last two out. But currently sitting at number 9 following that loss. So pretty much out of the playoff race. I don't expect them, especially with, you know, the ACC and the Pac-12 having two, well, not the ACC anymore, but the Pac-12 having Oregon and Washington, two big names in the playoff race. I don't think we'll see Oklahoma in there unless they win out and impressively beat Texas in the Big 12 championship, if they make it to the Big 12 championship, which we'll talk about in a little bit. So Oklahoma out. Oregon State with a, and I'm a little embarrassed about this loss because I felt really good about Oregon State. I was talking about them last week. I still feel good about Oregon State, but I did say that the three, Oregon State, Washington, Oregon, was going to kind of eliminate each other, and that's slowly starting to happen. Last week, Oregon beat Utah. I forgot Utah, too. Oregon State, Washington, Utah, they were going to kind of eliminate each other. Sure enough, Utah gets very embarrassed by Oregon. Utah already had a loss on their record, putting two on there. I already kind of figured they're out of the playoff race. This gets more on the Pac-12 race, which, again, we'll talk about in a minute. But Oregon getting that impressive win over Utah. Utah drops out. Oregon State losing to Arizona. Arizona was a 4-3 team coming into that game. Oregon State was 11 in the country at 6-2, losing by a field goal, 27-24. Ultimately, that drops them out the playoff race. Again, you were at a one-loss team. Maybe if you won out, you beat the gauntlet, beat these impressive teams. But if you're losing to Arizona, even if you do win the Pac-12 now, I think you're just going to be that team that eliminates kind of what Kansas just did with Oklahoma. You're kind of just eliminating everyone else's opportunities now. So that's really what happened, or where I see Oregon State. And again, it was a long shot. Same with the next team, North Carolina. I understand it's a long shot, but that long shot is now out the window. Any chance of playoffs is out the window now. North Carolina, they were at number 17 last week, only had one loss. You lost to Georgia Tech, though, and I know North Carolina fans, again, actual North Carolina fans understand that Georgia Tech is not a pushover game for them. That's that team. Every team has a team who you struggle with, like, continuously. Just kind of that in-conference team that you struggle with every year. And it seems like Georgia Tech is that team for North Carolina. And sure enough, North Carolina does what North Carolina does best, and that's eliminate themselves from playoff contention. And probably from the way things are headed, probably from conference championship contention as well. So those are the three teams that I had. Again, I know the Oregon State, North Carolina were pushes. They were stretches. I know they were stretches, and I know it probably wasn't going to happen. But I still wanted to give them a chance, you know? And whatever, they're out. And Oklahoma was the big one that everyone's talking about. That is pretty much out of playoff contention. I mean, they still have a long shot with winning the Big 12 and winning the Big 12 championship. Like, winning out and then winning the Big 12 championship. But like I said, they're Big 10, Pac-12, Oregon, Washington, Michigan, Ohio State, Georgia, Oklahoma. There's too many teams with two. I don't know. I just feel like it would be more impressive to have two teams, or just any other team other than Oklahoma. Like, Oklahoma's kind of been a fraud all year. I know there's a part of me that wants to defend Oklahoma, but you just can't. I don't know, and I think they know that too. And I think Oklahoma fans know that too. You just can't defend Oklahoma. It was rough. It wasn't supposed to happen. That wasn't part of the script. And I think It was a shakeup. It really was. I really did expect Oklahoma to kind of walk their way into the playoffs this year. But they still have a shot with the Pac, the Big 12 championship, which is what we're going to move on to, conference standings, because Oklahoma, Oregon State, and North Carolina still have a shot to win their conference, especially those three, the Pac-12, the Big 12, and the ACC. They aren't divisions. It's just the best two teams in the conference at the end of the year. When it comes to the Big 12, Kansas State, Kansas, Oklahoma State, and Iowa State are four teams that I have that aren't Texas and Oklahoma that nobody's talking about that has a very good shot, and we will see one of these four teams. I'm pretty sold at the fact that we're going to see one of these four teams in the play. It's going to be Oklahoma or Texas versus one of these four teams in the championship. Kansas State plays Texas this week. I think a lot of people are saying Kansas State is overrated. I'm saying Kansas State isn't getting enough respect this season. So I don't know. There's a lot of it's a big game this week. It's a highlighted game this week. I think the winner of that game ultimately ends up in the Big Ten championship. Sorry, damn, why I'm going through every division but the Big 12. Ultimately, the winner of this division or the winner of this game this weekend will end up in the Big 12 championship, because I really do believe, honestly, I'm gonna say this right here: the winner of Kansas State, Texas, and the winner of Oklahoma State are gonna be in the Big 12 championship at the end of the year, because really those are the. I mean, I have Iowa State and I have Kansas, but they both have two losses already. Iowa State is definitely the bottom of the four I have written down. Like, I would throw them out if I had to get rid of one. Oklahoma State is the team I'm most high on right now, really because of Ollie Gordon. I love their run game. I think their run game is starting to heat up a little bit. I think Kansas State also has a really decent run game, and it's a high-pressure game. Malik Murphy playing because of their starting quarterback, Quinn Ewers, out with an injury. Malik Murphy only has one start under his belt, and it was against BYU, which is a conference game, but there wasn't a lot of pressure on that. Everyone kind of figured the spread was like, what, 20 last week? Sorry if you guys can hear my iced coffee. But the spread was like 20 last week, and it was a cakewalk of a game, especially for a team like Texas. So this is going to be a big game for Texas, a big game for Malik Murphy, and it's definitely a game you wish you had Quinn Ewers for. Definitely a game you need Quinn Ewers for. I think Texas is still favored to win, but I think the winner of that game will ultimately end up in the Big 12 championship. Kansas State is kind of trying to prove themselves. I think they're in the top 15, somewhere in the top 15. I'll pull it up while I'm talking. But yeah, Kansas State and Texas. I think obviously Texas is the home team. It isn't. Oklahoma State, Oklahoma is not a night game either. I don't think Kansas State, Texas is either. Kansas State, Texas is an 11 a.m. game. Oklahoma State is a 2:30 game, which is insane because both of these games would be really good at night. Instead, we're getting BYU, West Virginia at night, which, thank the Lord. Kansas, Iowa State, they play each other this week. Like I said, those two of the four, it's a long shot. I think the winner of that game, Kansas is at 23. Kansas is at 23. Iowa State's unranked because they're at 5-3, but they only have one loss in the Big 12 this season. Obviously, if Kansas wins, Iowa State's eliminated from conference contention. If Iowa State wins, I think they kind of just eliminate each other. If Iowa State wins and you have the Oklahoma and Texas win, Iowa State's eliminated from contingent new well. Iowa State really is that. I don't know. I have them written down. I don't know why. I wanted to defend them so bad, because it is a long, 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 long shot. But there's still a shot, technically. Like, there is still more than 10% chance that they could make it to the Big 12 championship. But yeah, winner of the two games this weekend, I think, will end up in the Big 12 championship. So keep an eye on that, and don't say I didn't warn you about Oklahoma State. Oklahoma got exposed last week. Their run defense isn't terrible, but their run defense was terrible last week, just as Oklahoma State's run game is heating up, and Ollie Gordon is kind of showing himself as the best running back in the country late into the season, but he's starting to blossom as the best quarterback or the running back in the country. And I think if you can expose Oklahoma's run, if Oklahoma's run defense really is as bad as Kansas exposed them last week, I think Oklahoma State should have a cakewalk into this game. And I think they should kind of do what Oklahoma should have done to Kansas last week, if that makes sense. I don't think it'll be a close game if the run game can heat up. Now, if Oklahoma can stop Ollie Gordon and kind of make Oklahoma State throw the ball, kind of start airing it out, might be a different game. I think it'll be a closer game. I think Oklahoma is the team that's more in trouble than Oklahoma State, in my opinion. In the Big 10, obviously you have the Big 10 East, Michigan, Ohio State. Penn State kind of eliminated themselves from championship with that because they lost to Ohio State. So really you have Michigan and Ohio State left in the East. But in the West, Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin, Nebraska, and Northwestern are teams that I've been enjoying watching, at least, because especially Northwestern, especially after that win last week, Nebraska with their win last week, I'm starting to enjoy these terrible teams because they're starting to get a little good. If you look at the Big Ten East, let's look at that real quick. Michigan, Ohio State, undefeated. Penn State, 4-1. Rutgers, 3-2. Rutgers plays Ohio State this week. Should lose to Ohio State, which would just, again, kind of separate Ohio State and Michigan from the rest of the group. So, you have that. In the West, though, Minnesota is currently the number one team in the West at 3-2. In the conference, 5-3 overall. Iowa in second place in the West, 3-2 in conference, but 6-2 overall. Wisconsin at third in the West at 3-2 in conference play. Nebraska fourth at 3-2, and Northwestern at 2-3. So Northwestern obviously being the Iowa State of the group as far as like three losses in conference, probably not going to make the championship. So you're separated yourself from the group that is very close to each other, and 3-2 in conference play. And again, they're going to kind of start eliminating each other. Nebraska, looking at them, they play Michigan State this week, and then you have Maryland, Wisconsin, and Iowa. The Wisconsin game is going to be a one I would circle, the second to last game of the season. In 3 weeks, on the 18th of November. Yeah, so I would circle that one for Nebraska. I think Nebraska and Northwestern are starting to heat up, at least for Nebraska, the right time. Northwestern, I think, was a little bit too late. Wisconsin has consistently been a middle-of-the-road team. They do play Indiana this week, which, whatever, you should win that one. But Northwestern is the one I will circle next week because, again, Northwestern starting to get good, maybe a little bit too late. I think they're going to be that team that can just eliminate everybody else, really. Kind of just mess up the game for everybody else. Maybe you do that enough times and you see yourself representing the West at the end of the year. As far as Minnesota goes, the team that is currently number one, who do they have left in the season? Looking at their schedule, they play Illinois this week, Purdue next week, Ohio State second to last game of the year, and then Wisconsin at the end. So if these two teams can win out, I think you'll have Wisconsin versus Minnesota, the team that wins that one, represents the West if they can win out. But that's a big if for Minnesota because you do have that, not necessarily a gauntlet in the last two games of the year, but you're not going to beat Ohio State, and I think you should know that. Wisconsin at the end of the year, kind of an even game, but you're coming off of that loss against Ohio State. I don't know how it's going to shake things up for Minnesota. So that's the kind of the thing you want to circle when it comes to Minnesota. The end of the season, like their schedule's pretty bad as far as like you have the biggest games at the end of the season. Iowa, which I mean, Iowa's always been that team, their head coach, current, like that team as far as like you don't really pay attention to them during the season, and they end up in the Big 12, the Big 10 championship, not every year, but generally they end up either top 15 in the Big 12 championship, in a big bowl game, and then you realize like they're not great. They're not fun to watch, but they just kind of win games, you know? That's Iowa. I don't know if y'all heard about their offensive coordinator. I'm going to butcher their name. Brian Ferentz. I'm sorry. I can't pronounce. I'm terrible at names. Y'all know this. If you know the show, you know I'm bad at names. Anyway, offensive coordinator not returning next year. Don't really know the story behind that. If somebody wants to update me on that. Head coach, his brother, Kirk, is staying at Iowa. But the brother, his brother, offensive coordinator Brian, is leaving. I don't really know. I kind of saw about this. I read about it a little bit. Just really that. But I don't know why. I don't know what's going on with that. But okay, that's not the point of this conversation. I don't know if anyone else saw that. They're losing the offensive coordinator. Hopefully they get a better, like a more exciting one, because again, they win games. They end up in the top of the East top of the West every year in the Big Ten, but they're not fun to watch. And I think that's something they can fix. I don't know. So yeah, Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, really the big three in the West. I think Nebraska is a long shot. Northwestern is just there to ruin everyone's day. The ACC, a lot of shakeups when it comes to the ACC play. I think obviously you're going to have Florida State. It's just really a matter of who's going to play Florida State at the end of the year. This weekend brought a couple of shakeups into the ACC race. Duke lost to Louisville. Duke looked like a hot team for a minute. And Clemson, former dynasty team Clemson, loses to NC State. I don't know if anyone saw that clip. NC State head coach essentially calling out Steve Smith. Here's the story. So how it went down is College Game Day. They're talking about the game. NC State, Clemson, Steve Smith is the guest picker. Essentially calls NC State a basketball school, saying that NC State is just simply waiting for basketball season to start. Turnaround, upset, Clemson, big win for them. Head coach had something to say about that.
Tell Steve Smith in the studio, this ain't a basketball school. He can kiss my ass.
He can kiss my ass. I love that. I love that. I love that. I love that. Dabo, I don't know. Is Dabo on suicide watch now? I don't know what's going on with that.
Suicide watch right now.
I don't know. It just seems like Clemson fans are calling for his head. And they're having a terrible season. Shit happens, though. Shit happens.
Well, you can kiss my ass.
I don't know what to tell you guys. At least you're not A&M. At least you have the ring, you know? At least you don't have a national championship coach with no national championships under the belt. So, Clemson and Duke losing this weekend. Louisville with a win over Duke. NC State's win over Clemson is going to help them in the run a little bit. Not necessarily, I think, to be head contention. Still a long shot when it comes to NC State. But if we look at the standings right now, the top two teams are number four, Florida State, sitting at 6-0 in conference, 8-0 on the season. And then right now in second is number 13, Louisville, 4-1 on the season. I'm sorry, 4-1 in the conference, 7-1 on the season. Their only big loss coming earlier in the season. I'm sorry, 2 weeks ago in the season against Pitt, which was a big upset. I kind of thought that was going to be the downfall of Louisville, kind of expose them. But they seem to bounce back from it. They have the best shot right now. Virginia Tech this week, Virginia next week. And then you have Miami, Kentucky, the last few games of the season. Right now, they have the best shot of being the best, second best team in the ACC. It's really how you do against Miami and Kentucky at the end of the year. Miami, 6-2 overall, 2-2 in conference play. A little underwhelming. You had that big win over A&M week two. So they're not doing terrible. Like, Miami's not terrible, but when it comes to conference play, there's a lot of better teams. Virginia Tech currently sitting at third place in the ACC, 3-1 on conference play, 4-4 in the season. Georgia Tech, 3-2 in conference play, 4-4 on the season. And then North Carolina, Duke, Miami, Boston College, NC State. Again, the win over Clemson wasn't necessarily groundbreaking when it comes to the ACC race. It's more or less groundbreaking when it comes to, well, if NC State can beat Miami and then Virginia Tech later in the season, and then maybe they get, I don't know, they have Miami, Virginia Tech, and North Carolina. Those are the last big games of the season. North Carolina and Virginia Tech all above them. All of them above them. It's really just like you beat Miami, you're above them. I'm not trying to give this big hypothetical. I'm just saying, as it's 2-2 on the season right now, but if NC State does something in the next few weeks, the way that the ACC is looking, there's only one dominant team in the ACC, and that's Florida State. Everyone else is above average, and it's competitive. The ACC is competitive this year. But like I said, Louisville has the best shot, Virginia Tech kind of coming out of nowhere. But you really don't want to see a 4-4, right? Like, if the season ended right now, I would rather see a 7-1 Louisville than a 4-4 Virginia Tech. But one slip up from Louisville and Virginia Tech can win out. You can easily see Virginia Tech into the ACC championship. They play Louisville this week, so I just ate my own words. Really, the winner of this one should be sitting at second place pretty. If Virginia Tech beats Louisville, they still have NC State and then Virginia at the end of the year. Boston College, NC State, Virginia after Louisville. So the winner of Louisville and Virginia Tech, we have come to the investigation's over. Winner of that one should be going into the ACC championship with Florida State, barring any crazy mishaps or whatever. Finally, I mean, we have the SEC, but that's kind of just shaping out to how it always is. Alabama, Georgia is basically what we're going to get with that, like almost every year. I mean, you have LSU, Alabama this week. A lot of people are talking about LSU. I've been saying I'm not an LSU guy. I've been saying they can't handle big pressure games. And I think we're going to see Brian Kelly choke and Jane Daniels throw two interceptions this weekend as Alabama cakewalks their way into the SEC championship representing the West. The Pac-12 is the last team or the last division I want to talk about this week. And Utah falls to Oregon. I had Utah high in the Pac-12. I don't think that's crazy on me because I think Utah is a good team. I think everyone knows that. I think Oregon they're dominant. Right now the standings stand as follows. Washington is number one at 5-0. USC is number two at 5-1. Oregon is 4-1. Oregon State 3-2. And then Utah 3-2. And then the rest of the teams out of the race. I would say you could cut it off at Utah and go Oregon State up. I think the loss over Oregon is not something you can bounce back from. Especially, I think Washington should have a cakewalk into the Pac-12. I see USC at number two. Washington plays USC this week. They're only 3-point favorites. I think Michael Penix versus Caleb Williams is a big draw, obviously. But I think you should see the better defense win this game, and that's going to be Washington by a landslide. I think both quarterbacks will have high numbers, but I think it's just that team that's going to have the one turnover, the one third down stop, you know, the one punt that's going to change the game, and I think it's going to be Washington on that one. So if Washington can come out and win this one, should cakewalk their way into the... I've been saying cakewalk a lot this episode. I'm just going to name the episode the Equinox Cakewalk because it is a sports equinox. Shout out to the Texas Rangers. I don't know, man. Congrats, I guess. Big win. I want to hate. I am a hater. I hate the Rangers, but, you know, the Astros were there in 2017. I know what it's like to be alive for your – I mean, for the team, it's their first ever win. But I know what it was like when I saw my team win for the first time. So, shout out to them. They're not going to win. They're built, not built. They bought the team. It won't last long. It's not a dynasty. Regardless, whatever, back to college football. Washington beats USC. They should beat Utah. Damn. I want to defend Washington and say they have a cakewalk, but maybe I'm wrong. USC should be a win. Utah might be a question mark. Oregon State might be a big question mark. Should beat Washington. If they can get through this, Washington should be into the – if they can get through this gauntlet undefeated, Washington should be in the college football playoffs at number three. USC, like I said, should be eliminated. We should get Oregon, Washington back at it, assuming USC loses this week. Oregon should win out. You have California this week. You have USC next week, Arizona State, and then Oregon State. Oregon State, I think, is really that ultimate liar that could sneak their way into the Pac-12 championship. All you really have to do is beat Washington or Oregon, I think. You should beat Colorado. You should beat Stanford. That'll be two more wins. That'll bump you up to 5-2. And then you beat one of them. You finish the season at 6-3, which should be better than USC. Should be better than possibly Oregon. I don't know. You have to hope one of the teams ahead of you loses two. Again, it's a long shot. I know it's a long shot. I keep admitting it's a long shot. I'm just saying, Oregon State, don't count them out, but don't count them in. Just keep an eye on them. Keep an eye on Oregon State. If you ask me right now who I think it would be, it'd probably be Washington, Oregon again. Winner gets into the playoffs. Loser is a first one out. So that's the conference championship talk for the week. A lot of top teams are playing each other. Not necessarily top 10 teams or top, but I'm talking like top conference teams. USC, Washington, Kansas State, Texas, and Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, just to name a few. Louisville, Virginia Tech. There's probably a couple other big ones. But that is conference talk. I want to talk about real quick, just because this is probably so much people listening to this who know football are probably thinking I'm a dumbass for even talking about this. But there's probably people out there, if you're like me, and forgot about the rule, because I did when I first saw it. I was really confused because I thought they moved up a long time ago. Whatever. JMU, currently undefeated, only sitting at, I think, I wrote 23, but that's before the update. Let me check real quick. JMU, though, currently sitting at not where they deserve to be. Holy shit. Breaking news. JMU's not even freaking ranked anymore. At one point, they were 23. The highest I've seen them on the polls is 23. I think technically they're 25, according to AP last week. Not ranked anymore, according to the college football playoff polls. Which, okay, I get it. So, if you don't know, JMU just moved up to FBS 1A. So, that means that they are not allowed to compete for a bowl game, a national championship, or conference championship for the first 2 years when you move up. Which is a stupid-ass rule. Because, look, technically right now, JMU, 8-0, undefeated. In their conference, they can't do anything. Doesn't matter. Doesn't fucking matter that they're undefeated. Technically, right now, in the Sun Belt East, they are 8-0, two games ahead of Georgia Southern. Dude, I just realized how bad the Sun Belt West is. The top team is Troy, who is 3-1 in conference. The second best team is ULLA with 5-3 in the division. Sorry, that just blew me. Anyway, JMU, not even ranked, but they're undefeated. A little disrespectful. I hate the NCAA. That's such a stupid rule. Like, you're punishing teams for wanting to get better. Wanting to grow. Stupid. The Michigan sign stealing update. Connor Stallions. We got a name to the man. We got a face, a name to the face is what I was trying to say. Dude, there's been so much going on. He recently, what was it? He was caught. There's a picture of him in like incognito mode on the the Central Michigan sideline for the game opener in like Central Michigan gear, which if he didn't get caught before he got caught, such a badass move. That's so badass. That's such a, like, obviously cheating, obviously bad, but so badass. That's so cool, Connor Stallions. Like, everyone's saying there needs to be a movie about this. I would love to write, like, a comedy about some guy, like, who's really what Connor Stallions is doing. Some diehard fan who wrote, dude, the man wrote a manifesto about Michigan football, about how much he loves Michigan football. That's badass. Don't punish Connor Stallions. I mean, I don't think he can, but don't. This man should be free. Don't hate the man either. Michigan fans shouldn't be mad at, because if you could do it, you would. If you were, I'm a diehard A&M fan. If there was a way I could help them and probably get paid and get to go to free football games and get to sneak on the side, like, you know, and get to do all that and ultimately, like, not get in trouble for it, dude, I would be doing the same thing. You'd be doing the same thing, especially if you're winning. Don't hate on the man. But I found out it wasn't actually, like, stealing. The funny thing is, I know it wasn't, but obviously it wasn't stealing the big picture signs. It was stealing hand signs. The man's, like, a sign language interpreter. I don't know. But I love how people are coming around to games now wearing Michigan gear with, like, binoculars or bringing, like, fake posters. I don't know. I think it's so funny. I think it's just a funny little bit. Like, I would love to go to a college game in Michigan gear. I'm not even a Michigan fan, and just scout. I think that would be so funny. I love that we all know it's bad, but we also know that every other team does it. And not in that extreme, like, not sending out spies and shit. But every team does it in some form or another. If you're not winning, if you're not cheating, you're not winning. Essentially, that's how it feels like. It felt like that with recruiting before NIL. They're paying players. If you're not cheating, you're not winning. And that's how it feels like right now with all of this sign stealing and shit. I don't know. Connor Stallions is the name. I'll have more updates when we get more. But for now, Central Michigan caught red-handed. They were like, apparently they're like, he wasn't even wearing the right brand of gear. Like, you know how college teams are all sponsored and shit. And he was wearing the wrong brand shoes compared to the team. I don't know. There's a lot of people, like, breaking it down. And shout out to them. They're doing the job that none of us really want to do, because none of us care as much as Ohio State fans and Michigan haters. Finally, for college football, before we move on to preview the week, not gonna make my picks yet, just gonna preview it. The ACC has finally revealed their plans for next year. They're moving up to 17 teams in the ACC. And they have a 7-year plan when it comes to scheduling. I read it. It's kind of complicated. It's kind of like you don't care unless you need to care. But essentially, this is what I got from it. They're not going to have a certain amount of protected rivalries. I think it's 2 for a lot of school or a lot of team or a lot of, like, conferences. They do 2 protected rivalries. I think it depends on the team. I think Louisville. Sorry, I'm trying to find that article while also. I found it. So it's a. There's no protected rivalries. I think they're going to go on a 3-3-5 model. Florida State has 2 protected games. Clemson has 1. Georgia Tech and Louisville have 0. Those are just examples. Figure out what your team has. I don't know what to tell you. I'm not going to tell you every fucking protected rivalry. 17 games, 3-3-5 schedule, no protected rivalries. They have a set schedule until 2030. So we technically we know every single game until 2030. 2024 opponents and permanent rivals for next year. The big teams. We'll talk big teams. I'm not telling you every team. Protected rivalries for Clemson is Florida State. Protected rivalries for Florida State is Clemson and Miami. Protected rivalries for Miami is Virginia Tech and Florida State. Protected rivalries for Virginia Tech is Miami and Virginia. Protected rivalries for Virginia are North Carolina and Virginia Tech. New additions to the ACC. Stanford, who has Cal and SMU as protected rivals, who are also the new additions to the division. Cal, Stanford, SMU. Yeah, so all the new teams have each other as protected rivalries. Any other big ones? Wake Forest has Duke every year. Duke has North Carolina, NC State every year. North Carolina has Virginia, Duke, NC State. So a couple teams have three. That's cool. I don't know. I'm kind of learning this as we go, too. It's a new thing. It was a new announcement that, again, unless you really care, no one's really talking about. I just feel like it's a pretty cool deal. I can't wait to find out what the SEC has in store and plan. It's kind of good to see the ACC being the first conference to kind of, you know, set the future. I mean, they're not really focused on right now. They're focused on the future, especially when the only team you have to focus on right now as far as big scale is Florida State. So, yeah, that's it. That's college football talk for the episode. We have time for – I always hate that I only have, like – I use up most of my time on college football, and then I'm banging out these pro football takes. But previewing this week, and that's probably why – previewing this week, a couple games I want to talk about. This tonight, if you're listening to this on release date, Thursday, TCU, Texas Tech. Texas Tech is the home team, 3-point favorites, 6 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. I'm not going to give a full breakdown. I think that's just a big game. I think TCU they're the underdogs in this game. I find that very interesting. Also, Duke, Wake Forest, it's a Thursday night ACC matchup. 4-4 Wake Forest, 5-3 Duke. Same thing here, Duke, 6-point favorites. They are the home team, but I got my eye on Wake Forest. I'm not going to give an official prediction on or give my official pick, but I like Duke. I like Duke, but I like Wake Forest, and I think they're not starting to heat up, but they're very much a middle of the road team, and it depends on what team we're getting tonight. What Wake Forest are we seeing tonight? I think that's the question, and I think that's going to determine how the game rolls out. Friday, there's Boston College, Syracuse. Again, ACC matchup, but it's not really shaking up much. Wyoming, Colorado State. I think Wyoming's an interesting team, 5-3. So if they win tonight, or I'm sorry, if they win tomorrow, they will be bowl eligible. I think if they can win out, imagine a 9-3 Wyoming ranked, possibly. Put them at 25, 24. Put them in a big goal, big bowl game. Get them the exposure. I think that's what I want to see with Wyoming. Saturday you have, I'm just going to name them. All right, we're running out of time. We're just going to start naming them off. Texas A&M at Ole Miss. You have Ohio State, Rutgers is a big one. Kansas State, Texas is a big one. Notre Dame, Clemson is a big one, only because wouldn't it be something if Clemson just beat Notre Dame? Wisconsin, Indiana. I think Wisconsin wants to prove that they are a real deal. They will continue to keep winning. Indiana should be a win, but who knows? If Wisconsin's a fraud, they could lose this game. I think Florida-Arkansas is a big game, only because if Florida beats Arkansas, I think we might see a head coach firing this weekend. I'm just saying, he's on the hot seat. I think he's on the hot seat. 2-6 in the SEC West when you were just competitive, and KJ Jefferson was supposed to be this big name, and you're 2-6? Come on, man. I think if Florida wins, you should see Arkansas searching for a new head coach by this time next week. Sam Houston State still winless on the season. 0-8 playing Kennesaw State. Not a game I'm going to break down. I just think it's funny that they haven't won a game yet. complete opposite of JMU as far as like the first year in or first 2 years in. You have that suspension, yada, yada, yada. Whatever. SEC play, I have Georgia, Missouri. Georgia number 2, number 12, Missouri. Georgia's hosting Missouri. 15-point favorites are the Bulldogs, but 7-1 Missouri. They're, again, sneaky good team. Nobody wants to talk about them because of this game right here. And I'm not saying Missouri's winning. I'm just saying they're proving that they're a good team this week. That's all I'm saying. Not you don't have to be. You don't have to win to do that. You don't have to beat the number 2 team in the nation to do that. But you can still prove that you're a good team. SEC play, we have Alabama, LSU. LSU is heading to Tuscaloosa, the 3-point favorites in Alabama. 6:45 game. It's going to be a nice little night game. LSU currently sitting at 6-2, Alabama 7-1. LSU did win last year. However, Alabama, I think, knows that they're a little bit out of playoff contention, but they're almost there. Number 8 in the country, not a fan of that. Number 14, LSU, a little overhyped, and I think Alabama knows that they can beat LSU off of talent alone. Like, off of coaching alone or talent alone. Like, one of the two, you have both, and LSU, I would take out, or I'm not giving picks out right now, but I would take Alabama -3. Actually, that's a preview for you right there. Alabama -3. I'm writing that down. Bama -3. Let's shut down this Jaden Daniels hype. I'm tired of it. The man's been playing since Hurricane Harvey. Get him out of here. NC State, Miami, again. Both of these teams are like long shots away, but just a win this weekend gets them a little bit closer. It's still a long shot, but just a little bit closer. The loser eliminated from contention as far as ACC play. Kentucky, Mississippi State, East versus West matchup. Both of these teams are pretty mediocre. Final big game I want to talk about, Fresno State, Boise State. Rank Fresno State, you fucking cowards. I hate that we're ranking a 6-2. We're ranking 6-2 LSU. We rank a 6-2 LSU who lost to Florida State week one. Whatever. Week one, it's still early, yada, yada, yada. They beat Missouri. Whatever. Big win. I'll give them the big win against Missouri. But you lost to Ole Miss. Which, Ole Miss is great. I think maybe they get exposed. But the point is, they're 5-2. Like, you have 2 losses. Oh, they have an impressive wins. Over Auburn, you have a 30-point win over Auburn and a 62-0 shutout against Army, which is mad disrespectful. No one talks about this. But how are you going to host Army? How the hell does LSU host Army? Do this whole memorial for Army, this whole memorial game, they paint the fucking end zones camo, and then you embarrass our country. If I'm China and I see that the Army just lost to Louisiana 62-0, I'm invading right then and there. Fuck LSU. Alabama, I'm not even an Alabama lover, and I think they should beat them. A&M's still a good team. Florida's a pretty scrappy team. LSU, fuck them. They're going to lose this week. Not a fan. I'm tired of the hype. And then Oregon State, Colorado. Oregon State is a 14-point favorites for the week on that. All right, we got about 10 minutes until I hit an hour. 10 to 20 minutes is I got left to talk some NFL football. We're not getting as in detail as we did college football, which seems to be the theme for this show because I can never have enough time to talk about it. But quarterback qualms. I don't even know if I'm using qualms right. I want to start with that. There's a lot of quarterback problems in the NFL right now. Injuries, get rid of the damn turf. I'm tired of seeing turf-related injuries like Achilles, and it's all knee shit. And I'm not saying it's because of the turf, but I know the turf doesn't help. Last week, Kirk Cousins, man, if you don't know what happened, Kirk Cousins was on the last year of his contract, second best quarterback in the league, the number one passing quarterback in the league right now. He had the most passing touchdowns. Second most yards on the year, was having an amazing, some could say, MVP run because he was playing for a contract. Last week, he tore his Achilles, out for the season. Like I said, free agent next season, 35 years old. I don't know. Do you, coming off an Achilles injury, no Super Bowls, no MVPs. He has the stats to back it up. Damn, 35. There's a lot of young talent out there. Do we see him come back? I don't know if I'm gonna. I don't know if we're gonna see him come back. It sucks. It really does. It really does suck to see. I'm not a Kirk Cousins fan, but I'm not a Kirk Cousins hater. He's one of those quarterbacks that's just a good guy. I don't know if you saw him on that Netflix show. If you haven't seen that one, it was about last season. They followed all the quarterback. They followed not all of them. They followed Marcus Mariota, Kirk Cousins, and I don't remember who the other guy was. I only saw like clips and shit. But it was cute. Kirk Cousins is that Matt Ryan? Was it Matt Ryan? I don't know. Oh, it was Mahomes. I'm an idiot. Yeah. It was cute. It was a cute little show. Whatever. Or not. It was like, yeah, it was a good little show. It was a good little show. I'm man enough to admit that a show about football was cute, all right. It was a good show. But yeah, I hate to see it. I wrote down, when I took these notes before the trade deadline, I thought there was a chance that they could get Ryan Tannehill through the trade. Instead, they got Josh Dobbs from Arizona. Arizona just put, which I was going to talk about eventually, but Arizona benched Josh Dobbs and then traded him. He isn't starting this week. You're going to have rookie Jaren Hall starting for the Vikings. He was 3-4 with 23 yards and one fumble versus Green Bay following that injury. You have Nick Mullins to return in week 10. If you're Josh Dobbs, what, just you got to play two games and then you're on the bench, you ride out your contract. Sitting pretty nice if you ask me. I wouldn't even be mad if I was Josh Dobbs. I got a rookie starting over me. You're getting paid. Nick Mullins comes back. I don't know what the answer is for Minnesota following the quarterback injury. I mean, you kind of just lost your – like, they were going to have a quarterback problem eventually, but it kind of came a little shorter than everyone expected because you just lost your franchise quarterback. And he didn't get that final farewell that he deserved. Matthew Stafford is currently day-to-day with a thumb injury. He had a UCL sprain versus Dallas last week in that embarrassing game. God, that game sucked. The Rams are god-awful. Sean McVay might be on the hot seat. I'm just saying. He didn't return after that injury in the third quarter. Right now, Brett Rippin is a current backup. He was 5-for-10 with 42 yards against Dallas last week. I don't know what happens if Stafford isn't good to go. You're stuck with Brett Rippin. You had national championship winner in Stetson Bennett, but he's currently on IR with an injury. So, LA Rams, quarterback problem. The Minnesota Vikings with the quarterback problem. Arizona still has their quarterback problem. You have a rookie starting after benching Josh Dobbs. And Kyler comes back in a few weeks, so it should be fine. Finally coming off of that injury. I feel like he's been injured for like 3 years. They'll be fine. Don't get me wrong. They'll be A-OK. But Arizona, just you still suck at the end of the day. Future's bright. Kyler isn't the answer. I don't know what they're going to do with that. Rodgers should be coming back probably next week, the way he's freaking healing. Patrick Mahomes, the flu game. Terrible game. Two interceptions and sacked three times. Played during the flu. Like, he played with the flu. Terrible game against the Broncos. 24-for-38, no touchdowns, two interceptions, sacked three times. Yeah, I don't know. We're just talking about quarterback problems. I was like, might as well talk about that because that was a problematic performance. He'll be fine. He'll bounce back. But it's rare to see Mahomes have a bad game. And if we talk about every other quarterback having a bad game, we're gonna talk about Patrick Mahomes having a bad game. God damn it. No Taylor Swift in attendance for that loss. This is the second time Taylor Swift has not been around. And then Kelce and Mahomes have had a poor performance. Quarterback problems in the NFC. Or just really in the NFL in total. That's that. Last big topic I want to talk about before I give my picks, because I'm running out of time. Jacksonville. Should we buy into Jacksonville? Is it a little too early? They're currently 6-2, first in the AFC, and the only team with a very large win streak. They are on a 5-game win streak after a very embarrassing loss to Houston week 3. They have been undefeated since that loss. And that win against Pittsburgh last week, I think you can accredit that towards Kenny Pickett going out. But regardless, a win is a win. And Jacksonville defense kind of disrespected Mitch Trubisky. Definitely disrespected the terrible towel. The Jacksonville defense showing some absolute disrespect to that terrible towel. If you are from Pittsburgh, if you are a Steelers fan, that's like spitting on your grandmother's grave. I know, not a cool move. Might come back to bite Jacksonville in the ass in the long run. Maybe they see each other in playoffs. Let the story continue. I must finish the story, Cody Rhodes type shit. Trevor Lawrence is currently balling out. 1,935 yards, 9 touchdowns, 4 interceptions on the season, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception since the London game versus Buffalo, which was a win, by the way. But since coming back to London, he is 4 TDs to 1 interception. Could Doug Peterson be Coach of the Year? Don't really know what the Coach of the Year standings are looking like right now. But the way Jacksonville is playing, the way that offense is playing, especially that Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne connection, I could easily see Doug Peterson being a Coach of the Year candidate right now, probably top Coach of the Year candidate. Travis Etienne and Trevor Lawrence have, like I said, just have a next level connection. Last week they had a 56-yard touchdown pass to Etienne. Etienne went 3 catches, 70 yards, and 1 touchdown. That's only his receiving stats from last week. The defense did shine against Pittsburgh throughout the week. Like I said, you did play Mitch Trubisky in that backup offense when Kenny Pickett went down. The way Pickett's playing, I'll be honest, they're kind of the same to me. I know it's messed up to say, and I know it's probably very false, and I probably piss off a lot of Pittsburgh fans when I say that, but I really do believe that Mitch and Kenny are right now about the same level. Kenny's getting better, but tonight they play the Titans. The Steelers play the Titans. Should bounce back. You should be fine. You should see your way into playoffs. Just you won't be a number one. You'll be a wild card team. If we see the Steelers in playoffs, they should be a wild card team. Jacksonville, however, looking at the rest of their schedule, they do have the 49ers this week, which could be a Super Bowl matchup the way that both teams are playing right now. 49ers are trying to figure out their offense. I think if Jacksonville's defense can keep it up, I think the Niners will have a difficult time trying to figure out their offense with this game. They do play the Titans the next week, then the Texans, and then the Bengals. Other big games following that are the Ravens towards the end of the year. Other than that, you have the Panthers, the Titans, the Buccaneers. You should win most of your games. I think the only ones you want to question or circle are the Bengals, the Browns, the Ravens. You play them 3 weeks in a row. The Bengals on the all of really December. You have the Bengals at home, then you go away to the Browns, and then you are back home against the Ravens. The home field advantage should be a bigger deal. The Ravens being a Sunday night football game, Bengals being a Monday night football game. Joe Burrow does kind of shine on primetime games. The Browns defense has been pretty dominant. It's really going to be a test. If they can come out of this winning the AFC South, maybe being at a number 2 spot in the AFC, I think they are a team you should watch when it comes to playoff contention, especially on that playoff run. But is it too early to tell? We don't know. I think we should come back probably in December, mid-December, right before the season ends. Right after, I'm going to come back right after the Monday Night Football game and bring up that we'll revisit this discussion about if Jacksonville really is the real deal or if it's just too early to tell. We're running out of time. That's my NFL talk, essentially. On the rest of the notes I had for this episode when it came to the NFL talk was the quarterback combo, like I said, Clayton Tune starting against Cleveland this week for Arizona. Tennessee, Will Levis is going to be starting over Ryan Tannehill. If I'm Ryan Tannehill, I'm not even tripping. Ease your way into retirement there, buddy. Will Levis had a pretty good game last week. Is he the real deal? Don't know. The real deal or do we need to chill? I think it's something you need to ask when it comes to Tennessee. I did not have time to rank the 5-2 team. I have teams that are 5-2 and better, and then I wanted to rank the teams that are below 500. We're going to do that next episode, though. NFC South, I still have yet to talk about how awful they are. It seems like the Panthers would have that win over Houston. It was a good win. Both teams are pretty evenly matched. I think it was really just the Panthers needed to win more. I don't know. The NFC South is pretty messy. Next episode, we will definitely talk about the NFC South, and it's going to be even more shooken up after this weekend. The best of the worst should be even we should get a smaller margin of below 500 teams after this week, and then ranking teams that are 5-2 or better. Again, we'll visit that next week. Before we end the episode, though, you know how we have to end it. Let's move on to our pick of the week. Picks of the week. Last week, I went 5-7. I only did college football. I think if you wanted to add pros, I know I did two bets and I lost them all. So let's go 5-9. I'm a man of honor. I'm a man of honesty. And I'll be honest, I didn't do great with really spreads. The spreads were messed up this week. I hit huge on three upsets. I had West Virginia money line, Northwestern money line. I had Nebraska money line. And then I had Virginia Tech plus 17. All four of those, three of them being money line upsets, one of them being, you know, just a spread, I think were big deals. Houston kind of bit me in the ass. I had Kansas State Houston being over 60.5 points. And then I had Houston keeping it close. Obviously, Houston got shut out. Oklahoma minus 8. That one, again, bit me in the ass. I'm going to eat my words. I really did think Oklahoma was going to cement themselves as Big 12 champions last week. But now the Big 12 is wide open. Other losses include the Baylor money line. I don't know. I thought Baylor was going to be a big deal. I think the spread was only like minus 3. So I was like, might as well take Baylor money line if I'm going to bet Baylor at all. However, this week we're only going to do college again. I'm not hitting pro right now. And I lost too big on Sunday on pro games. I'm not doing that again. So I have seven picks for you this week. These, I think, are more just straight picks than giving you bets, because five of these are money line picks and five of these are upsets. I'll be completely honest with y'all. Five of these are considered upsets. I have the hunch. I have the hunch. So here's how it's looking. Let's start with the upset I talked about in the beginning of the episode, Kansas State money line. I think for this game, Kansas State, Texas, it is a 11 o'clock game. We talked about this earlier in the episode. I think Kansas State is starting to kind of heat up. I think the winner of this game will end up in the Big 12 championship. Kansas State is currently a 4-point underdog, 6-2 on the year, number 23 in the country. Texas sitting at number 7 in the country, 7-1 on the year. I think Kansas State has to win to stay in the Big 12 championship race. I think a loss here will eliminate them. Texas has Malik Murphy starting. No Quinn Ewers. this seems like a game Texas will fumble. They always seem to fumble the bag. In the past, it's come down to Kansas State, or they've lost to Kansas. It's always the Kansas teams. You're not playing Oklahoma State, so this is kind of the last big game for Texas. If you look at the remaining schedule for them, you have Kansas State this week, and then you have TCU, Iowa State, Texas Tech to round out the season. This seems like the last big test for Texas. As far as Kansas State, you have Kansas and Iowa at the end of the year. You're kind of in the start of a gauntlet. I love to call everything a gauntlet. I don't know if y'all have noticed that. But you're kind of in the start of a gauntlet. Baylor in the middle. You have Baylor next week. You should beat that. You should win that one. But every other game is kind of a underdog scenario, probably a toss-up. So I think Kansas State has what there's a 33% chance of them winning. I do like their run game, though. They have current running back DJ Giddens, 116 carries, 722 yards, and 7 touchdowns on the season. Current quarterback Will Howard, 1,600 yards, 14 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. And like I said, as far as I know, Quinn Ewers is still hurt, so we should see Malik Murphy. I mean, I don't know why I said as far as I know. We know Quinn Ewers is hurt. We should see Malik Murphy only has one start on the season, and that was against BYU. So I'm going to take Kansas State money line on that. Speaking of money line, keeping it going, give me Oklahoma State money line. Oklahoma is a 6-point favorite on the week. It's a 2:30 game. Oklahoma is number 9. Oklahoma State is hosting, however, the number 22 Oklahoma State hosting number 9 Oklahoma. But Oklahoma is a 6-point favorite. I say the home field advantage plus the run game when it comes to Oklahoma State. I've been talking about them all season. All of Ollie Gordon II, to be more specific, 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns on the season. Dylan Gabriel, Oklahoma State's big man, big name at quarterback, 2,300 yards, 19 touchdowns, 4 interceptions on the season. He's currently the third best quarterback when it comes to QBR. Last week on that loss to Kansas, he did have one interception. No touchdowns and one interception. His last big game was against Texas, where he had 285 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions on the game, on the week. I expect him to, I don't know, be mediocre. I think Kansas has, it's really on that Oklahoma State secondary. I think if Oklahoma can't stop the run, if Oklahoma can just do enough to stop the run, I think it's going to rely on the Oklahoma State secondary. I think Oklahoma needs to win this game, kind of like Texas. They're in the same boat. It's literally the same boat. The underdogs need to win this game to continue the very possible chance of seeing them in the Big 12 championship. If they win this one, they have UCF, Houston, and BYU to round it out. Oklahoma State has the easiest last three games of the season, I think, when it comes to the Big Four in the playoff and the Big 12 championship race. So I think Oklahoma State needs this win in the same way Texas needs this win, as it's kind of the last big game of the season for them. So I think Oklahoma State will end up pulling it off, home field advantage. We might see another storm the field moment in Bedlam, the final rivalry game before Big 12 loses Oklahoma and Texas next year. Give me Oklahoma State money line on that. Keeping it going with the money line. Give me Boston College money line on the week. Looking at it, not really sure why I took Boston College money line. It's a Friday game. Syracuse is a 3-point favorite. Boston College is currently 5-3 on the year. At one point, they were one of the worst teams in the country. The last three games, they've won the last three games. Won the last four games, sorry. 4-0 after losing to Louisville in late September. Impressive wins over Virginia and Georgia Tech. You got to remember, Georgia Tech just beat North Carolina. Virginia being a top ACC team, also beating North Carolina. Yeah, beating North Carolina 2 weeks ago and keeping it close to Miami. Something about Boston College, man, they're just heating up at the right time. Syracuse is 4-4, very middle-of-the-road team. Huge loss to Florida State and Virginia Tech in the last 2 weeks. You currently looking at 0-3 in the last three games after beating Army. I think Syracuse is just, they kind of got exposed, and it's been getting exposed. Their quarterback is not great. Only 9 touchdowns, 5 interceptions on the season. Running back has less than 600 yards. I think Syracuse has a 75% chance of winning, but I have a hunch on Boston College. It's a Friday night game, too, Friday night lights. It's just something. It would be great to see an upset on Friday, and I think that's what we're going to see with Boston College. A&M and Ole Miss, I have A&M money line for this one. A lot of people are calling me a homer for that one, calling me like too much of a fan pick. But 7-1 Ole Miss. Ole Miss is talking a lot of shit. It's always a heated rivalry. I don't want to say Jimbo is on the hot seat, but somebody has to be telling Jimbo that he's on the hot seat. Like, he has to know. The word around A&M, the word around the SEC, like, everyone's saying it. Everyone's saying it. Like, everyone's saying that he should be on the hot seat. If you win out, though, if you win this week and you win out, you're going to be 9-3 on the season. Not bad. Like, not cool for A&M fans, but not bad if you're a football fan. A&M, I mean, you have Ole Miss this week. You have LSU at the end of the week. If Jimbo wants to keep his job, I think they have to win this game. That's why I have A&M. I think Ole Miss is going to do what Ole Miss always does. They eventually fumble the bag. If you don't lose this week, you're going to lose to Georgia next week. I just think top 10 is very generous for Ole Miss. I think the committee wants to see Ole Miss win. And they want to see them put a top five, or not a top five necessarily, but you know, a number 2 versus a number 8 next week against Alabama or against Georgia. I think that's what the committee's kind of setting up for. But I think A&M will get the upset simply because Jimbo's not playing for his job, but he's playing to stay comfortable, I think. And the final big money line for this week is Northwestern money line. Before, why did I take A&M money line and not A&M on the points? I don't know, man. The points are 3. I don't think A&M wins. I don't know. I don't think A&M loses by a field goal. I think the team that wins by a touchdown, maybe 6, you know. I don't have a real reasoning on it. I just feel like, don't give me 3. 3's lame. I know it's safe. Take the 3, but give me money line if I'm going to bet a close game like that. I'll take the points on an underdog if it's like way too many points, you know. Whatever. Big Ten play, Northwestern, Iowa. Iowa is 6-2, currently number 1 in the West. We talked about this. Northwestern, I said, is heating up. There's only 22% chance of them winning. Iowa, they're trying to stay the leaders. They're trying to stay a top team in the West, waiting for Minnesota to fumble the bag. I think Northwestern at Wrigley Field, bro, get out of here. Get out of here. Give me Northwestern. Something about it being in Wrigley Field. It's that Wrigley magic. Northwestern pulls off the upset and shakes up the Big Ten West race. When it comes to points, I have 2 games when it comes to points. One of them, I have Missouri plus 10. I think Missouri plus 10, like I said, I think Missouri is going out there and their goal for this week is to show everyone that they are a good team, a real deal team. I'm not saying that means they have to beat Georgia. I'm just saying that they have to compete with Georgia. Plus 10 is not a lot, but I think I would have given them 6. I think it's going to be that close of a game. I think Missouri loses by 10 or by less than a touchdown. So plus 10 is one of those situations like where, like I said just a minute ago, like I take teams that have I'll take the points on an underdog if I think it's too many. Like it's too big of a gap, you know. So give me Missouri plus 10 on that one. And then finally, the only favorite, my favorite of the week, and my favorite of the week, because everyone knows it's my favorite. That's why I'm so happy about this. Everyone knows why it's my favorite, and it's Alabama minus 3 because fuck LSU. We don't like LSU. We hate Jaden Daniels. We hate Brian Kelly. We hate Brian Kelly. Family, fuck out of here. Fuck out of here. Family. No. We're done. I'm tired of his family ass. Get him out of here. Fire Brian Kelly. I'm ready for Jaden Daniels to be gone. I will respect LSU once them two are gone. And I don't know why I'm dogging on this man. I want this man to hear this. I want Jane Daniels to know that I just retire. He's the Stetson Bennett of LSU. The only problem is Stetson Bennett has two national championships. Jane Daniels doesn't even have a fucking conference championship. I mean, he made it the appearance. I'll give him that. They made it to the conference championship last year. But he doesn't even have a conference championship win. The difference between Stetson Bennett is that Stetson Bennett was in the NCAA for 10 years, but he has two national championships. Jane Daniels has been on two different teams, three different coaches, and I could be talking about my ass, but two different teams, three different coaches, and only like three impressive wins. I'm just saying. Give me Alabama -3. I'm a Nick Saban lover. I think -3 is a little too generous for LSU. Alabama wins by 10 or more. NFL-wise, I'm not going to give any picks, but some big games to watch out for this week. Dallas, Philadelphia. I think Dallas wants to prove themselves this week. They'll beat Philadelphia. Deuce Vaughn has been real quiet recently. Deuce Vaughn coming into the league from Kansas State. The only reason I'm bringing him up is because we just talked about Kansas State in the run game. He is with Dallas. He's kind of been really quiet. People said he was going to come to this league and be like the next Darren Sproles. He hasn't really been productive as much as everyone was. I mean, at least everyone was hyping him up to be. I mean, Cowboy fans will get on my ass and say that he's the best running back since Ezekiel Elliott. But remember when they all wanted him gone, Zeke gone last week or last year? I'm just saying they'll hop on the Deuce Vaughn hype train easily. But if I put a piece of shit next on top of a – if I put a piece of shit in a Cowboys helmet, I guarantee Cowboy fans would say that piece of shit's an NFL MVP. I mean, if I put a fresh piece of dog crap inside of a football helmet and put that football helmet on a football field, Cowboy fans would act like that football helmet is the best player to ever step on the field. Cowboy fans will act like that piece of shit is the Cowboy fans will act like that turd is an MVP. How do I know this? And this isn't even me dogging on Cowboy fans. How do I know this? It's because they did that with Tony Romo for the 10 years they had Tony Romo. They're doing this with Deuce Vaughn. They did it with Tony Romo. They do that with anybody that steps into the fucking organization. Give me Philadelphia on that one. I think Dallas is kind of going to start to lose their hype a little bit at a time. Philly's a 3-point favorite. Give me Philly -3. Fuck it. I'll give you two NFL picks. Philly -3 before we end the episode. And then give me I was going to take Kansas City -2. But give me an underdog. Give me Houston -3. It's not even underdog. It's just the Buccaneers are the Buccaneers. I said I don't like the NFC South. Houston's coming off that ugly loss against the Panthers. As a Houston fan, we're not even that upset about it because we get it. We get it, you know. But whatever. Houston -3 on that one. That's it. That's my picks. That's it. I'll run them back for you before we wrap up the episode. Philly -3. Houston -3. Give me Bama -3. Give me Missouri +10. And then five big upsets. Kansas State money line. Give me Texas A&M money line. Give me Boston College money line. Give me Oklahoma State money line. And give me Northwestern money line. And with that, we are done with episode 8. Thank you guys so much. Yo, follow us on Twitter at PodcastKev. You can find me on Twitter. Follow me on Instagram at GridironJabroni. That's where you're gonna find the podcast or the podcast Instagram. Follow me on Instagram at KFabeKev. It's where I post most of my like daily sports news. My feed is always popping. My story is always popping on there. Follow us on there. DM us any sports take. Everyone's always asking, how can I get on your show? Let me be on your show. I'm not going to bring every single person to the studio for a 5-minute interview. Literally, send me your takes. DM me. Send me the takes and I'm going to read them. everyone, I, you know, my show's growing slowly but surely, but it's getting a little bit better. And I'm getting more and more people asking, how can I be on the show? You should let me be on a show. I'm giving you the opportunity to be on the show. I'm getting a little tired of everyone asking, how am I going to get on the show? I'm giving you the opportunity. Literally DM me. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Follow us on Facebook at Gridiron Jabroni. Gridiron Jabroni. Just follow. Look for it. Find us. Message us. DM us. Audio, video, text, whatever. If you want your voice heard on the show, you want to be on the show, I'm giving you the opportunity to be on the show. I will read it off, whatever. Yada, yada, yada. But follow us on all social medias, guys. Podcast Cab, Kayfabe Cab. Follow us on TikTok as well, Gridiron Jabroni. Podcast Kev, Kayfabe Kev, all that. Thank you guys so much. Don't forget to tell your friends about this. Like, subscribe, do all that good stuff. And we'll see you on episode 9. Happy betting, safe betting, BTHO.
Playoffs? Talk about playoffs? Playoffs?
You got barbecue back there? Hurt my feelings.
I'm here with my family.
You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.